Hi, good morning. I'm Mo. I obviously changed the title of my project as I finished more data before the talk. And this, I'm just going to give you a little background on my PhD research at the U of I. And I'm going to tell you why I'm studying the oriental fruit moth. The oriental fruit moth, or Graphelita molesta, or OFM, has been a serious pest of peaches, apples, think apple pie, and other fruit crops since its introduction into North America. In the 1990s, infestations in apples greatly increased in the eastern United States, and in 2006 there was a severe infestation in the southwestern portion of Illinois. In addition, the OFM populations in southwestern Illinois are thought to be resistant to pyrethroids. Likewise, in other areas of North America, there have been populations of oriental fruit moth resistant to pyrethroids, as well as organophosphates. And recent losses to OFM threaten the viability of the apple and peach production in southern and southwestern Illinois and the lower Midwest in general. My project has three objectives. The first one is to describe the baseline susceptibility of oriental fruit moth populations to key insecticides, including newly available reduced risk pesticides and OMRI insecticides. Identify any cross resistance potential for these insecticides and evaluate their effectiveness in field trials. Second, to refine the knowledge of the geographic distribution and relative density of oriental fruit moth in Illinois, in addition to its phenology, to better identify the need for and timing of sprays and management practices. And third, in managed versus unmanaged apples and peach orchards, quantify and identify the natural enemies for the oriental fruit moth that contributed to control. And this information is essential for any future biological control of this pest. And this presentation will concentrate solely on the first objective. Now, the colonies, the susceptible of the Rutgers colony was acquired from Rutgers University. The colony was collected roughly 30 years ago in Fresno, California. It was established in a lab in a USDA lab in Washington State, and then reared since 96 at Rutgers University. The Calhoun colony was established in field-collected OFM larvae obtained from heavily infested, untreated peach shoots and fruit from orchards located in southwestern Illinois, specifically Calhoun County. And as far as maintenance go, in general, the larvae pupate inside cardboard strips, and then these cardboard strips are placed into emergence cages. Following eclosion, the adults are aspirated to ovipositing cages. Twice a week, the egg sheets are pulled, placed on ripe gala apples or diet, and the cycle continues from there. A little bit about our colony rearing, since this was a new colony. Both colonies are currently reared on gala apples as well as the lima bean diet. The diet individuals are transferred to these containers, and there's a cardboard round, as you see here. And the containers are covered in a black cardstock, and that facilitates the larvae climbing to the top to pupate here. The larvae that are fed on apples are also placed into these plastic containers with about 5 strips of cardboard for them to pupate in. And they're usually kept in the lab at ambient temperatures between 26 and 27 degrees Celsius. Gives us about 30 days egg-to-egg development. And the Calhoun colony has been in reared for 11 generations thus far. There is a continuous demand for new insecticides to combat resistance to current products on the market. That's otherwise known as my job security. Anthranilic diamides are a new class of insecticides that kill through action on the ryanodine receptor, and it's developed by DuPont Crop Protection, and chlorantraniliprole provides lepidopteran control through the activation of this receptor channels, and they release stored calcium causing muscle contraction and then insect toxicity. Now, Dow AgroSciences developed spinidaram, and this chemical is derived from the fermentation of the soil bacteria Saccharopolyspora spinosa, and this insecticide targets the nicotinic receptor as well as the GABA-gated channels, causing excitation, again, of the insect nervous system followed by paralysis and death. And the acetamiprid is a neonicotinoid that likewise developed by United Phosphorus that likewise targets the nicotinic acetylcholine receptors, leading to excitation of the nervous system and paralysis and death. I just wanted to give you in general what the differences between the insecticides that are used. As far as for methods, we use 7 to 8 serial dilutions of the following insecticides, including control with water only for incorporation into diet. And then we use approximately 200 individuals per concentration, and we prepared a diet for each treatment using 1 part stonefly heliosis diet to 3 parts water plus the respective insecticide with an untreated control. The diet was not heated, and for the bioassays, the diet cubes were placed into plastic diet cups, and a single 1-day-old neonate is placed and added to each cup. And then the diet cups containing the larvae are placed in an environmental chamber for 96 hours, it's 4 days, at 27 degrees Celsius, 60% relative humidity, with a 16:8 light dark photoperiod. And then the dose mortality models are established using Polo Plus software rather than using SAS ProBit. Now you'll notice in future slides that we selected the Loget model for prediction of the dose mortality relationships because it was a better fit for our data, specifically for the Rutgers colony. It showed high chi-square and heterogeneity values in the ProBit model, and this more or less says that it's a good indicator that our data was not a normal distribution. And also, Jackie Robertson also found the Loget model to be the best fit for her 25-year-old Western spruce budworm. And I also found other previous research done with Trisets used the Loget model as well. The results for the slopes used in the Loget analysis show no significant differences for the slopes of the colony. In a future couple slides, you'll see that the lines do differ, but the slopes do not. And again, Calhoun, this is for F2 through F11 generations. Now, the results for the LC50s and the LC90s here, you show that there were no significant differences for the chlorantraniliprole for the ratios. However, for spinidaram and acetamiprid, I had to sneak some school colors in here somewhere, were significant for these ratios. And here we see the Loget response curves. Now, on these graphs, on the left in red are the Rutgers. I don't know how many people in here are maybe colorblind. But on the left is the Rutgers colony, and on the right is Calhoun. Now, if you look at the one down here for the acetamiprid, they have a really steep slope. And this could, you know, what it's showing is there's a great mortality associated with the small increases in the concentration, and this could indicate rapid absorption and rapid onset of effects for this chemical. And so the conclusions are that there's really no significant differences between the colonies for the LC50s and 90s with chlorantraniliprole. However, there were significant differences for the 50s and LC90s for spinidaram and acetamiprid. And the reason for these differences could be selection on the Calhoun colony population by insecticides already used in the field. In addition, there could be differences in target site sensitivity or as well as metabolic resistance or detoxification between the two colonies. And lastly, there could be, you know, the genetic change in Rutgers lab colony over a multitude of generations. You're talking about 300 generations in the lab is also possible. So what we're going to do in the future is additional larval bioassays for noble urone, specifically Ryman, an insect growth regulator, and flubendiamide or BELT, flutamic acid diamide. And then there's also going to be larval bioassays conducted for one-to-one mixtures of selected insecticides with the currently labeled premix. There you have the volume plexi. And adult bioassays are going to be conducted using the Rutgers Calhoun and wild-caught moths for S-Ven valerate, synthetic pyrethroids, S-Ven bosmethol, and which is an organophosphate. And here I have my references. And I didn't add it, but I would like to go and thank the following people. And one is my advisor, Rick Leinzer of the U of I. Two student helpers for Stephanie Dolt and Stephen Kohler. And Peter Shear from Rutgers and Ann Rucker that helped me establish this colony from scratch. So with that, are there any questions?